بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به وأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن خير الكلام كلام الله وأحسن الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأشر أمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد والحمد لله Before all else, I thank the brothers here from Markaz al-Salafi for giving me the opportunity to speak to you today on the topic that bi-ithnillahi ta'ala will cover in a manner which is bil-ikhtisar, concise, due to time constraints and due to trying to bring as much benefit for one another, in a manner which is digestible, which everyone can digest and understand. And the affair that I wish to discuss with the brothers and sisters today is the topic of muhasabat al-nafs. Bring yourself to account. And muhasabat al-nafs, you find in the narration, حاسبوا أنفسكم قبل أن تحاسبوا. Bring yourselves to account before you're brought to account. This is a kalima, this is a statement which is jami من الجوامع الكلم من a comprehensive speech. What do you mean by the comprehensive speech? Is that within concise speech, one sentence, two sentences, you find all or many of the ahkam, the ruling in someone's deen. And a person that brings himself to account, the individual that brings themselves to account, brings their actions to account, this includes everything. This includes a person bringing themselves to account in regards to his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in regards to his belief, what he holds within his heart, in regards to the actions or the statements upon his tongue, in regards to the actions that he has upon his limbs. And this is comprehensive of a person's Islam. This is comprehensive of a person's Iman. All of these affairs come together when a person brings himself to account. And a Shaykh, Muhammad ibn Hadi al-Madkhali, حفظه الله تعالى, he mentions that the one الذي يتكلم في هذا الباب أو في هذا الموضوع لا بد أن يراعي قول الله تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولوا ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. So it's upon the individual that speaks about this affair. The affair of bringing yourself to account. Weighing your deeds. observing your deeds, that they look and they ponder and they take into account the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala, O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? Why do you say that which you do not do? And so that person should bear in mind that it should be from the individuals that upon actions, and then they call to those actions. And they are not from the individuals that are from the callers that yashra fi da'wa, yashra fi al-amal bil ma'roof wa nahy an munkar. They begin with enjoying good, they begin with forbidding the evil. However, they have not begun with the affair with themselves. They have not begun with enjoying the good and forbidding the evil with themselves. And so, as I mentioned, this evening, I intended to mention and to go through just some of the affairs, of many which there are many, where the Muslim, the ibadullah, the individuals that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must bring themselves to account. And the first thing that the person must bring himself to account is in regards to his i'tiqad, in regards to his creed, in regards to what he believes with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his belief with his Lord, his tawheed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَإِنْسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me. This is the hadaf. This is the ghaya. This is the reason behind our creation. And this is from the ni'mah. مِنْ نِعْمِ اللَّهِ. This is from the blessing of the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He bestowed upon us as Muslims. That we have knowledge, sure knowledge, of the reason why we're here today. The reason why we've been created. You step outside and you ask an individual, why are we here? What's the purpose of life? What's the purpose behind your creation? And every individual that has no knowledge of Tawheed, or does not fulfill their Tawheed, is not upon the tahqeeq of Tawheed, does not make Tawheed manifest within their own selves, every single individual will give you a different answer. One person will say, the purpose of me being here is to make money. The purpose of me being here is to have a family. The purpose of me being here is to have a happy life. That's my purpose. Every single individual will come with a different answer. But as we know, you can't have different answers for this one question, fundamental question. Why are we here? Fundamental question. And so, when it's a question that's based upon the usul, the foundations of your religion, the first question, when you see the different answers for this first question, that you know there's a khalal, there's a deficiency. Why? Because the haqq is one. The truth is one. Batil, misguidance, false beliefs are many. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says He removes them from the ظُلُمَات إِلَى النُّورِ. It was the people, the believers, Ahlul Haqq, Ahlul Tawheed, the Muwahidun, the people upon Tawheed, the people that fulfill the Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He moves it from the darkness to the light. And as the ulama mentioned in regards to this, the scholars mentioned in regards to this, the darkness is mentioned as plural. The darkness, the misguidance is many. While however, the Nur, the guidance, the Haqq is one. The truth is one. The Nur is one. So when you hear the question, why are we here? Why have we been created? Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala create us? And you're faced with many answers, many different answers, and know that many of these answers are upon falsehood. Many of these answers go back to that dhulumat, to that darkness. And there can only be one answer that returns back to the nur, to the light, to the haqq, to the huda, to the guidance. So when the person brings himself to account in many of his affairs, in many of the affairs of his deen, let the first thing be his relationship with Allah. Let the first thing be his belief in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that begins with tawheed. That begins with the tawheed of Allah, singular Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone in ibadah. وَحْدَهُ لَا شَرِيكَ لَهُ. Allah Ta'ala has commanded us, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا. Worship Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala alone, and do not associate anything in partnership with Him. A command. The first of all the commandments from Allah. The first we've been commanded with. Worship Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala alone, and do not associate anything in partnership with Him. So a person brings himself to account with this first and foremost. His knowledge of Allah. The person is going to worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala alone, he's going to fear Allah, he needs to know Allah. He needs to know who Allah is. The person needs to have ma'arifa wal ifbat. He has to affirm, have the affirmation or the knowledge of who Allah is and affirm those things that he believes. Affirm the things that he believes in regards to Allah tabarakhu wa ta'ala. So you have to have knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb al-Alameen. He's the Lord of all of the creation. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Lord of all of the creation. He created. He's the one that sustains. He's the one, azza wa jal, that brings about life, causes death. The affair returns back to Allah. We affirm and we confirm our belief in the af'al of Allah, in the actions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we have knowledge of this and we affirm this. Likewise, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's names and attributes. We affirm this as well. We have knowledge of them. And from the means of a person increasing in iman, increasing in their iman, and their belief in regards to Allah is that they have knowledge of Allah's names and attributes. The lofty names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They called upon Allah based upon these lofty names. Allah ta'ala says, وَلِلَّهِ أَسْمَى الْحُسْنَى فَدَأُهُ بِهَا. And through Allah and belong to Allah are lofty, beautiful names. So call upon Him using them or with them. Call upon Allah with these lofty names. And this goes back to the third thing. So we have knowledge of Allah's lordship. We have knowledge of Allah's names and attributes. We affirm all of these things to Allah. And then, when we have knowledge of these things, it necessitates, we can't do this alone. We can't just leave it there. I say, we believe in Allah. We believe in Allah. We have knowledge that this is that Allah Ta'ala is the Rabb al-Alameen. We believe in Allah. And we leave it there. Rather, it's upon the individual after that to return back to the talab. Al-qasd wa talab. Al-talab al-qasd. Seeking from Allah. Having pure intention with Allah. And this is the ibadah. The ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Being upon tawheed. Being upon the tawheed of Allah. Being upon the correct methodology being upon the correct methodology. Worshipping Allah Ta'ala alone. Directing all of your affairs and your worship to Allah. Having ikhlas, being sincere in your actions. For an individual that wants his action to be accepted, then let him bring himself to account with how he's performing those actions. Let him bring himself to account and ask himself, are these actions sincere for Allah? Is this salah sincerely for the sake of Allah? Because the affair turns back to the niyyah. As Allah Ta'ala states, as the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stated in a hadith of Sahih, إِنَّمَا أَمَالَ بِالنِّيَاتِ. Indeed, the actions are by their intentions. Indeed, the actions are by their intentions. So a person must look back to his intention. What did he intend? Bring yourself to account for your actions. Don't blindly go into an action. You know you need to pray. Mathalan. For example, you know you need to pray. And you blindly go into the action. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. Ramadan, for example. Not reminding yourself of the niyyah, the qasd, the intent behind that action. Purifying that action for the sake of Allah and none other than Him. So when a person brings himself to account, they must begin with this affair. They must begin with the affair of Tawheed. They must begin with the affair of Ikhlas. Bring themselves to account with Ikhlas, Tawheed. Likewise, in the second affair, that a person must bring themselves to account with is the affair of al-istiqama, being upright, being upon the middle way, the middle path, being upon i'tidal, being upon i'tidal, being upon moderation. This is the Ummah al-Wasata. The Allah Ta'ala states, وَكَذَلِكْ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ. Indeed, we have made you a Ummah, a nation upon the middle way, so that you may bear witness upon the people. And so the person that brings himself to account, brings himself to account in regards to his a'mal, his actions, then know, ya ibadullah, that you must look at your affairs and ask yourself, am I upon this istiqama? Am I upon this middle way, this middle path, this moderation in deen? As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam states in hadith, when asked about a kalima, about a word, he stated, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, indeed I believe in Allah, I believe in Allah. And then be upright. Be upon this istiqama. Be upon this middle way. Be upon the way, the path, which is the path between al-ifrat wa tafrit. Be upon the path that a person traverses upon, which is between the ghulu, the excessiveness, the extremism, and the tafrit, the negligence. Being lax with your deen, be upon the middle way. As this is, the salat al-mustaqim. How many times do we say in the salat, ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, ihdina sirat al-mustaqim. Guide us to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, to the middle way. Guide us to a way of istiqamah, to be upon istiqamah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, a person, in order to fulfill this istiqamah, they have to look at their actions. They have to review what they're doing. Review their actions. What have I put forth for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? What have I put forth? And are these actions? Actions of istiqamah. The Salat al-Mustaqim. وَعَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ فَأْتَبِعُوا. And this is my straight path, so follow it. This is my straight path, so follow it. The moderation and the individual that has caution in his deen and caution in regards to being moderate in his actions, then they will look at his actions, he will look at his own actions and see, are these actions which are befitting of a Muslim? Are these actions that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with? As when we discuss the affair of istiqama, being upon istiqama, being upon that middle way, being upon the straight path, then know that it begins with your belief. So you do not fall into the excessiveness and the extremism of these Khawarij, for example, you see now. These individuals that see it's befitting to kill innocent people in the name of Islam. Satan, that they're fighting fi sabilillah, la wallahi. They state that they're fighting for the sake of Allah, and I say no, by the way of Allah, they're not fighting for the sake of Allah. However, this is the jihad, the striving and the fighting fi sabil shaitan, in the way of shaitan, aiding the cage of shaitan. And no doubt the one that wishes to avoid this marad, this illness of extremism. I know that it's an illness. That this marad, yu'alaj bil-ilm. That this illness is cured by way of knowledge. Of ilm al-nafi, beneficial knowledge. Knowledge of the deen, knowledge of the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As you find from these individuals, the same individuals that are upon this extremism, the same individuals that are upon this way of extremism, you find that they're lacking knowledge. They're lacking knowledge of the Sunnah. And this is not something which is new. It's not jadid, it's not new. Rather, this is the way of their forefathers. From the beginning of the Khawarij, from their forefathers, when Ibn Abbas, a Sahabi Jalil, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, approached him. And Ibn Abbas narrates, وَسَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ. And I gave the salams to them. I greeted them with a salam. فَقَالُوا مَرْحَبًا يَا إِبْنَ Abbas. Welcome, O Ibn Abbas. Not returning the salam to them. Based on their jahl, based upon their ignorance. They were so immersed in their ignorance that they believed that Ibn Abbas was not deserving of the salams being returned to him. And so they continue upon this way until this day that we see there now. These same people in the same time we live in now, these same individuals are upon a way and act upon ignorance. So the one that wants to stay away from these things and understand the truth, have a true understanding how and why we should stay away from this extremism, then let them treat that marad, that sickness, with knowledge, with beneficial knowledge. Alhamdulillah, from the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the virtue of Allah ta'ala, is that we live in a time where knowledge, beneficial knowledge, the knowledge of the deen, the knowledge of sharia, is widespread. It's openly available for the one that truly wants to seek it. For the individual that truly wants to seek that beneficial knowledge, it's there and it's available. So you have this extreme. And it's upon the person to review their affairs, to look at their actions, to bring themselves to account. Look at the actions of these individuals and ask themselves, am I upon anything that resembles these people? Am I upon anything that resembles these people by way of their actions? Am I upon anything that resembles these people by way of their ignorance as well? Likewise, an individual must stay away from the other extreme, the tasahul, being lax, being negligent in regards to your deen. Whether that be negligence in regards to what you believe, negligence in regards to your actions. The individual that is negligent in regards to his deen, in regards to his actions, then know that this individual is upon khasara. He's upon a great loss. He's found a great loss in this regard. And we learn al-tafit as Muslims. Learn al-tafit ila lawmat al-la'im. We not look and we not pay any attention to the blame or the blamers. Do not apologize for being Muslims. Do not apologize for the sunnah. Rather, we are happy and we are thankful. And we show our gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He guides us to the haqq. Because know, ya ibadallah, guidance, al-huda, al-hidayah, is from Allah ta'ala alone. And we cannot say that we've done anything where we're deserving of this. Rather, this guidance is from the fadl of Allah. It's from the virtue of Allah upon His ibad, upon His servants. And so, if we show this gratitude, and we're steadfast, and we work hard in regards to the righteous actions, in regards to the actions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased with, we won't start apologizing for things that are from the deen. We won't start saying, this is not from the deen. This is not from the religion. People stating that the arkan of Islam, for example, absolute foundations in the religion, can be worked around. It's fine, you can pray all of your prayers at the end of the day. For example, this is the individual that is being lax of his deen. This is the individual that has not brought himself to account. This is the individual that has not looked at his actions with a true nazar, with a true look, with true comprehension of what the reality is. So the person brings himself to account with the two affairs. Staying away from the ifrat and stay away from the tafrit. Being upon the sirat al-mustaqim. Being upon the ittida'. Being upon the middle way in everything. In his belief, what he believes in regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In regards to his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In regards to the deen of Allah azza wa jal. In regards to his religion, his belief is upon the middle way. His belief is based upon the Qur'an and the Sunnah. It's based upon the statements of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Qur'an and the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, based upon the fahm, the understanding of the Salaf of this Ummah. the pious, the three pious generations. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked, who are the best of people? Man khayrun nas. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, khayrun nas qarni thumma alladhina yalunuhum thumma alladhina yalunuhum. The best of mankind, best of mankind are my generation, then those that follow them, and then those that follow them. So when a person is seeking knowledge, then let him seek knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah based upon the understanding of these three generations. This is how the individual will truly embrace and find that istiqamah, that middle way, that beneficial understanding in deen. Likewise, it's upon an individual, and the third thing, it's upon the person, when they bring themselves to account, to look directly at their actions. To look directly at their actions. What have they put forth by way of their actions? Their a'mal. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "Yatba'u may thalath, ahluhu wa maluhu wa amaluhu." فيرجع اثنان ويبقى واحد. يرجع أهله وماله ويبقى عمله. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stated that three things follow the dead person, the mayyit. So after you've died, three things follow the individual: his family, his wealth, and his actions. Two of them return, one of them remains. His family and his wealth return, and his action remain. His actions remain. When a person dies and they're buried, they're at the graveyard, they're buried, their family members and their friends will stay there for a time, a short period of time, and then they turn and they leave. And it's upon them to continue with their lives. Because Allah Ta'ala has not written it for them to leave the dunya at this time. So they turn and they leave. Their family returns. Their wealth. When a person dies and a person is seeking, or in a dunya, a person is seeking wealth, but he makes this his main thing, his himmah, he gives all importance to that, then know that this wealth cannot follow you. Rather, the wealth will return as well. Once a person dies, his wealth is returned. The wealth returns to pay off his debts. The wealth returns to pay off for his janazah, his funeral, and then it splits amongst his family. However, the shahid is, the point is what? That the wealth of this individual will not remain with him. La fa'ida fi. There's no benefit for him now. That wealth is not a commodity for him now. That wealth is not a commodity. The only commodity that this individual has now is his a'mal, is his actions. The only thing he has with him now is actions. Whether they be righteous actions, whether they be evil actions, these are the only things that will remain, these actions. These are the only things that will remain. Righteous actions or evil actions, whichever they may be. As a person must reflect upon this, reflect upon these affairs when bringing himself to account. Reflect upon his actions. Are the actions that I am doing, are these actions that I want to take with me? Because these are the only things that will remain with him. Are these the actions that I want to take with me? When everything else returns and this is the only thing that remains, let the person bring himself to account. Let the person reflect on what will remain. And even one or two things. There's only one or two scenarios from the person that reflects upon the actions that they have done. One or two scenarios. Either They reflect upon their actions and they see righteous actions. Salah, the prayer, the fasting, performing Hajj, performing Umrah, giving Sadaqah, giving charity. And they see these righteous actions. It's upon the individual at that point there, at that particular point, not to become mu'ajab bi nafsihi, not to become amazed with his own self, amazed with his own actions, to become complacent, to say to himself, ana fa'alt kada, ana fa'alt kada, I've done this and I've done that. And I condemned kada, I condemned kada, I've given this and I've given that, I put forth this for Allah. Because first of all, the affair of ikhlas is something you have to strive with on a continual basis. An individual cannot say, I'm mukhlis, I'm sincere, my actions are sincere for Allah. La. The person should strive against this, should strive to be from those that are mukhlis, those that are sincere in their actions. So the individual that sees that they put forth righteous actions, then let them continue with them. Make it a means of continuation. And not something that they look at within their own self and believe within their own selves that is something which is amazing. And raise themselves by way of it. There's Allah the one that raises. And so the person should increase in their actions, continue upon those actions, increase and continue upon seeking his beneficial knowledge. As Allah Ta'ala says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Are the ones that know equal to the ones that do not know? Are the ones that possess knowledge equal to the ones without knowledge? Of course not. So a person should increase in knowledge, continue to increase seeking knowledge, and then act upon that knowledge. But do not become complacent upon your actions. Believe in these actions, that you possess these qualities now, and these qualities that you possess, for example, or these actions that you have done, are daim, are continual. For the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stated, an authentic narration found in Sahih Bukhari, that the first three people that are brought before Allah, yuqda, and judged. The first of them, rajulun, ustushira, the man that was killed in the war. And he's brought before him his ni'am, so that he can recognize his blessings. And then he's asked, wa ma amaltu fiha? And what did you do with them? What did you do with these blessings? And the man says, Qatal tafiq. He says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I fought for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to him, Kadabt. You have lied. Wa qatalt liyaqal jari. And you fought so it could be said that you were jari. So it could be said that you are an courageous individual. وَقَدْ كِيلُ And indeed it was said. فَأُمِرَ بِهِ وَسُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِ هَاتَهُ الْكِيَ فِي النَّارِ And the order came that he be dragged upon his face and thrown within the fire. Thrown within the fire. The second individual, تَعَلَّمَ الْعِلْمِ وَقَرَأَ الْقُرْآنِ The same thing is brought before him, his ni'am, his blessings. And is asked to him, وَمَا أَمَلْتُ فِيهَا And what did you do with these blessings? And he says, the man says, تَعَلَمْتُ الْعِلْمِ وَقَرَأْتُ الْقُرْآنِ فِيكَ I learned beneficial knowledge, I learned knowledge, and I read the Qur'an, I recited the Qur'an for your sake. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كذبت. You've lied. لكن قتلت لكن تعلمت ليقال عالم وقد قيل. But however you sought this knowledge, so it can be said that you are an alim. And indeed it was said, فَأُمِرَ بِهِ وَسُهِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْقِيَ فِي النَّارِ. And then the order came that he be dragged upon his face and he was thrown within the fire. And then the third individual was given many different types of mal, money, all the different forms of wealth. And the same thing occurs. His blessings were brought to him, so they had recognition of his blessings. And then he's asked, وَمَا عَمَلْتَ فِيهَا. And what did you do with these blessings? And he says, I did not leave anything from any of the forms of wealth, except that I spent it in your way. I ate for the sake of Allah, the man says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَذَبْتْ. You've lied. However, you've done it, liyuqal, you paid and you spent your wealth, liyuqal, so it can be said, jawad, that the man is generous. Uqad qeel, and indeed it was said that this man is generous. And so he faced the same results as the other two. فَأُمِرَ بِهِ وَصُحِبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ حَتَّى أُلْكِيَ فِي النَّارِ. And the order came that he'd be dragged upon his face and thrown within the fire. These three individuals, all of them performing actions that upon the face of it were righteous actions. And they say that they did it for the sake of Allah. However, within their hearts, within their intention, was the intention for the people. Upon riya, showing off, they wanted these things. They wanted recognition from the people. And the ulama explained in this hadith, they mentioned that they achieved that. In the dunya, they got what they wanted. They wanted recognition, they got it. However, in the akhirah, they faced the punishment of the hellfire. So if a person brings himself to account and reflects upon his actions and looks at the actions that he's put forth and he sees that they're righteous actions, do not stop there. However, ensure that these actions are actions sincerely for the sake of Allah. Ensure that these actions are actions that you continue with as well. That's the first scenario in regards to person's amal. The second scenario is an individual that looks at his actions and he reflects upon his actions and he sees that some of these actions, or many of these actions, are actions which are from the sayyat, evil actions, actions of disobedience. Then the same thing occurs. It's upon the person now to act. It's upon the person to reverse that. To reverse that by way of tawbah. Tawbah to nusuh. Sincere repentance. And the scholars, they mention in regards to evil actions and actions of sin and disobedience, there are two types. You have the kabair al-dhunub wa-sagair. You have the major sins and the minor sins. And for the major sins, for example, the minor shirk, stealing, zina, any fornication, adultery, killing, all these major sins. For these affairs, it's upon the person to make tawbah. It's upon the person to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with sincere repentance, having the azima, the determination not to return to the action, not to go back to it. Likewise, having regret for the action, regretting the action, ending the action and regretting it as well. And that the action is based upon the ikhlas lillahi tabarak wa ta'ala, sincerely for the sake of Allah. That these actions are sincerely for the sake of Allah, that is tawbah, that is repentance, sincerely for the sake of Allah. This is how a person removes the major sin. And as for the minor sins, then likewise you have the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam stated, "Taqallah hayfa ma kunt, wa atbi' sayyi'a hasana." Fear Allah wherever you are, wherever you may be, and follow the bad deeds with a good. Tamhuha. Because indeed it wipes it out. So if a person falls into a sin, an action that Allah is not pleased with, and based on their knowledge, and based on their bringing themselves to account, Allah is not pleased with it, then let them follow that up with a righteous action, with an action of khair. But all of these things cannot occur until a person brings himself to account. So a person reflects upon his own actions. Until a person enjoys the good and forbids the evil with his own self. Until they ask their own selves, is this an action that Allah Ta'ala is pleased with? Until they ask their own selves, is this an action that I want to follow me to the grave? Let the ibad Allah, the servants of Allah, the worshippers of Allah ask themselves, are these actions that I want to follow me? If that is the case, are these actions are the actions that you want to follow you, then continue with them, increase upon them, ask Allah for thabat, ask Allah to keep you firm upon those actions, ask Allah to make you continuous upon those actions, and do not become complacent. Because al-hidayah wa thabat al-haq is not a given. It's not something that we can say is a given. It's guaranteed. None of us here can say that we can confirm and we'll be thabit on the haq till the day we die. Rather, we have to ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala for that thabat. We have to ask Allah azza wa jal to keep us firm. As a messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was stating sujood, Ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qalbi ladinik, O turner of the hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion. O turner of the hearts, make my heart firm upon your religion. And that's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the best of creation. So what about us? What about us? We're more in need of this. We're more in need of asking Allah for this. Likewise, you have the statement of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, where he says, I did not leave, there was not an action that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, illa amaltu bihi, except that I did it. Makhafatan aw khashyatan in taraktuhu la'aziq. Fearing that if I leave this action, any action the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did, if I leave this action, that I will go astray. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, the best of the companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in, he would fear for his own self going astray. And due to that, he was steadfast upon following the sunnah and everything that he knew to be from the sunnah. So again, let us reflect on our own selves. Let us reflect on our own actions. How much do we adhere to the sunnah? How much do we adhere to the actions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The statements of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So bring yourself to account. Bring yourself to account in regards to the actions that you do that you know are righteous actions. And bring yourself to account in regards to the actions that you know Allah Ta'ala is not pleased with because it's stated in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. And then finally, in regards to the actions, or in regards to the things that a person should bring himself to account with, is his company. Let that person bring himself to account in regards to his company, his friends. Al-mar' ala deen khalil. That the individual is upon the religion of his companion. So look to the one that you are befriending. Who is your companion? What is your companion built upon? That companionship that you have with them, that friendship you have with them, what is that friendship based upon? Is it based upon haqq? Is it based upon khayr? Why do you have this relationship with them? Why are they your companion? Are they aiding you in becoming closer to Allah? Are they aiding you in fulfilling the commands of Allah? Or are they a barrier? Is this person merely a barrier? A barrier between you and the haqq. A barrier between you and ta'ah. A barrier between you and obedience. What's the role of that person in your life? And so you have to ask yourself, is this person a person that is a sincere advisor? Because the one that was khair for his own self, was good for his own self, then you have makharata, makharata to salihin. He will mix and befriend and take as companions the righteous individuals. Righteous individuals. You know this individual prays. He's upon the salawat. You know this individual strives to go to the masjid for the salawat. Befriend him. This is the individual that will aid you, inshallah. Not the individual that doesn't pray. The individual that doesn't know the rights of Allah. The individual that does not remind you of Allah. Rather, this is the friend. Or this is the companion that blocks you. That is a means of blocking you and keeping you away from the haqq, keeping you away from obedience. Likewise, beware of a companion that is a mudahin, a companion that merely flatters, tells you what you want to hear. The one that Salaf used to mention, that the individual that always agrees with you is not your friend. The individual that's always saying, sah, correct, not your friend. Rather, it's your enemy. Because this individual is not helping you upon the haqq. He's not aiding you upon the khayr. Because this individual will merely yudahinuk, flatter you and deceive you. So when you do something which is good, he'll praise you. When you do something that's bad, he'll praise you. It's not a companion that you want. Because you want someone that's a sincere advisor to you. That when you go, when you do something which is astray, when you do something that Allah is not pleased with, you have this individual that's by you, and he will advise you. As the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, stated, "Ad-deen al-nasiha," the religion is sincere advice. And you need a companion that implements that hadith. That implements the affair of enjoying the good and forbidding the evil. And does not just merely leave you to your devices. He doesn't want to offend you, for example. You don't want a person that is so weak that they cannot advise upon good. Tell you to stay away from bad. This is not a friend. This is not someone that will help you. Because you're not always going to be together. And when that time comes, when you're no longer together, when you stand before Allah and your actions are weighed, you can no longer bring this friend to tell you that you're correct. This friend will no longer tell you that you're correct. There's no room at this time now. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, at the time of Yawm al-Qiyamah, there's no room for madahana, for flattery, mujamala. That a person tells you what you want to hear. There's no room for that anymore. However, the sincere friend will advise you upon khayr. Because they are the only reason they're friends with you and they're companions with you, because they love you for the sake of Allah. And they uphold that relationship with you for the sake of Allah. So So bring yourself to account. Ya ibadallah, bring yourself to account. Who are these people that you're with? Look to these individuals. Is this person the one that's going to aid me? Is this person I can trust in terms of my deen? Can I take knowledge from this person as well? Can I trust this individual to take knowledge from this person? إِنَّ هَذَا عِلْمَ الدِّينِ فَانْظُرْ عَمَّنْ تَأْخَذُونَ دِينَكُمْ. Indeed, this knowledge is the religion. So look to who you're taking religion from. Look to who you're taking religion from. All of these affairs, the person should bring themselves to account for. But there's no benefit in a person seeking dunya, seeking wealth, gathering wealth, having all these people around them that pat them on the back, agree with you, whilst you leave off righteous actions. Because the wealth won't always be there, and his companions won't always be there as well. So take time out. On each occasion, take time out to reflect on your actions, reflect on your dealings, reflect on your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because that's the sibil najat. That in reality is the way that a person will attain salvation. Because this dunya will come and go. We can't allow ourselves to be deceived by it. Because it will come and go. But we have to remind ourselves that the actions don't come and go. Our actions don't come and go. Our actions will remain with us. And we'll be asked about them. We'll be held accountable for them. So bring yourself to account before that occurs. Alhamdulillah, we'll suffice with those words there. جزاكم الله خير ونكتفي بهذا القدر وصلى الله وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم بارك الله فيكم